Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. This whole thing, isn't it about faith? Isn't it about faith which looks out of the dark and doesn't see any light? And yet faith, through faith, we see light, even when we don't see it. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other ship to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink from something to almost too much. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll catch men." So they pulled up their boats upon the shore, left everything, and followed him. So what does it take to leave everything and follow him? Certainly in the case of the first disciples, it took a miracle. Peter, James, and John were doing just what they had done all their lives. No doubt what their fathers had done before them. They were simple fishermen, and on this day, apparently not very lucky ones. Here in the first days of his ministry, our Lord calls out to them and shows them through a simple miracle that he indeed was more than just another passing preacher. They were astounded at the catch and realized that this man was someone very special. Peter calls him Lord, knowing somehow instinctively that this man must be blessed of God, for whom else to perform such a miracle. The simple act on their fishing boat was sufficient to compel them to drop what they were doing, leave what they had known, and follow this unusual man who filled their nets in a moment. After they had caught nothing all day, it was, to say the least, impressive. And it did catch their attention. So what does it take to get our attention? What miracle is to bring us around? This question is asked because all too often, I myself and all of us cannot help but wonder what we are really thinking of as we go through life, doing our thing. And this is key, and it sounds harsh, but I think it sometimes happens. And acting so often as if God does not really exist. Do we go through life doing what we want to do and acting so often as if God does not exist? St. Peter would later write to the new Christians in Asia Minor the words found in the text of his first epistle. "Finally, all of you live in harmony and with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to you this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. The word hope, I might have said this before, but the chaplain I was talking about was preaching, and he gave two ideas about the word hope. First of all, he's talking about his dog who's tearing up stuff. He says, well, I'm a church. I'm hoping that dog doesn't destroy something else. He said the more important thing is the blessed hope we have in Jesus Christ. Something that we long for and we realize we cannot attain it on our own. But the blessed hope is that he will do it for us. He has done for us and will keep us. So many times Christians will say, I hope I make it. If you're trusting in God and what he's done for you and participating in it, he will get you through. If that were not so, the cross would not be necessary. Because then somehow we could do it ourselves. It is better if it is God's will to suffer doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. It takes courage to stand up for our Christian convictions. It takes courage to do what we know is right. It takes courage to oppose what the world finds acceptable. But courage is born of faith. And if our faith is unquestioning, unlike Peter, we see that God not only will give us strength to be courageous, but also to endure when we oppose that which we know to be contrary to God's desire. Case in point about standing up for what is right, regardless of what may be the consequences. I bring you this short narrative about the story of this Mark Houck. He was an ardent supporter of life. He was praying outside the Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia. He was across the street from the clinic. He was with his son. And this so-called escort from the clinic came up from across the street, accosting his son with words and actually threatening him, trying to intimidate him. Mark kept asking to lay off of it and stop, and then he went away for a while and came bolting back towards his son. Mark knocked this guy to the ground, didn't punch him, but knocked him to the ground so he would not intimidate his 13-year-old son, I think it was, who was praying with him. After all this had happened a couple months previous. Morning of September 2022, Mark Houck, was arrested at his home outside of Philadelphia at about dawn by the FBI and the Pennsylvania State Police, all of whom were brandishing rifles and wearing tactical vests with a battering ram and SWAT gear. This happened in front of Mark's wife and seven children. Mind you, this is at the crack of dawn. Mark was hauled away by the FBI without any opportunity to speak to his family. Hobbled and shackled, handcuffed. Not even allowed to, he had sandals on, flip-flops, t-shirt, and I guess he had pajama bottoms. He wasn't even allowed to put on underwear. They hauled him away. They took him to the Philadelphia Federal Building and held for over 6 hours in chains by the U.S. Marshals. When he was released with his liberty severely restricted, he was ordered to stand trial for two felony counts of alleged violations of the FACE Act. That is the so-called Freedom of Access to Entrances Act. He was facing up to 11 years in federal prison and a fine of $350,000. A trial lasted for a full week. The jury was dismissed and deliberated and come up with a verdict. They brought them out, and the judge said they had let one juror go for reasons they didn't understand. They put on an auxiliary stand-in juror. They went out and deliberated for about an hour, and they came back. And Mark thought it was over. Thanks be to God, the truth prevailed, and Mark was found not guilty by this new jury. He recently testified before the U.S. House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and limited government to give witness to the truth and expose the impulses behind the efforts of the U.S. government against people of faith, and in particular here, the pro-life movement. This is a man that just took the risk because he's standing for life. A very simple thing we before Roe v. Wade would have thought would never come to. We would always respect life. Yes, there have always been abortion, but there was in back alleys of so-called coat hangers. And yet he was standing up for a basic truth. The Constitution tells us, the Declaration of Independence tells us, the pursuit of life and happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The first word is life. Such a basic thing, and this is what he went through, to simply to stand up for unborn children. We see darkly through a glass now, but he didn't. He saw the same thing we saw, but he saw the light at the end. The light at the end, the truth of God. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life in him. And to have life in him on this earth, we have to be at least allowed to be born. To come from what should be the safest place anywhere, the mother's womb. He stood up for it, and he went through this to serve his living God. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook and followed him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.